our colleague. I think that's very important, Chairperson. We are asking these questions in public interest. Why inconsistency in dealing with agencies of this department? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you very much for the report and explanation. I have a number of questions, I must just say up front, but let me start with the easy ones. The easy one, Chair, for me, there's been an announcement about the acting group CEO, Mr. Zide, and also Rail. It would be useful, Chair, if we could get the CVs of those new acting positions so we can see as a committee the requisite skills for the position, because sometimes this acting is a way of finding a different way of deploying for a purpose that is not necessarily clear. So that's an easy one for me, Chair, if we could get. And because we are having 2 days engagement with PRASA, I think that's relatively easy that we could have that so that tomorrow we could also comment on that. Because if we talk about the parastatal that need to be rescued, then let's speak frank about rescuing it, including the people that lease it. Of course, we can't change the thing, but we can speak straight and frank about that. Chair, quickly on the what was not explained in the communications that we're exchanging communication. Mr. Lutsalo seems to suggest that the last communication that went out also seek to elicit a comment, a legal comment from Mr. Zide, from somebody who said, tell us if we are on the right track with respect to our understanding or interpretation of the remuneration policy. I didn't hear in all the exchange of correspondence what was the advice from the company secretary on the matter, because that will clarify lots of issues. Because the company secretary, in terms of good governance, is a person responsible to advise the board in terms of laws and various things. So he's almost neutral. He doesn't get into the playing field. He tells the board, but here you are erring. This is the law. The law says you must do this. There's a letter that seems to have requested an opinion about whether the staff that said this matter in terms of the policy is settled here. But let's get the company secretary. What was the response of the company secretary? What was the response to the board? What was advised from the company secretary to the board on the same issue? The two people, both in terms of those are staff, but those that are governing by way of the board. What was the legal advice that you received? Number two, Chair, in the letter that is written by the board, and I hear Mr. Pizan and the board presenting it, dated the 7th of July, there is a paragraph which he referred to as a paragraph 3 that speaks to Mr. Lutsolo about the position that he's now going to be that he's assuming and what goes with it. It says applicable benefit to the position. Now, interesting, when the presentation was made by the board, they don't explain what this applicability is. They don't say the applicability is the same 1.3 that comes from there, or what is the applicability of the position of the Group CEO or PRASA. But then they say, go and finalize this matter somewhere with someone in the, or as the executive, REMCO HR. And the instruction that goes out says it is applicable, in the applicable benefit to the position. And what is the position? Group CEO. What is the payment of Group CEO? We are told, 5.9. So when you were writing the letter to Mr. Lutsalo that you are now appointed and your appointment includes applicable salary to the position, what did you mean? You. The letter was only signed by the chair. It's not his letter. It's your letter. You discussed this particular matter. What did you mean by it? You haven't explained that what you meant by that. Chair, another question is, I haven't seen the letter, the firing letter, when Mr. Zoll was fired. I don't know whether there is any document that is written of the letter that says you're no longer employed here, pack your bag and go. I'm talking now the last one, the one of last week, if it's last week. What was the charge? You can summarize it. What is he fired for? Is it fired for receiving? Now, the chair in the second bite of the, when he was responding to Mr. Swallow's point, went into the debate of the matter and said, what type of official is this that negotiates his own salary? Now, that's now Mr. Pisano when he was talking, when I got better comfortable with the, with that statement. Meaning, the assumptions that I draw from that is that here Mr. Lutsalo was negotiating his own salary. And therefore, maybe that's the charge as part of the report that officials like this who comes and negotiate their own salary must fall on a sword. That's the charge. We haven't explained it. Now, may I make the put this to the board? If you say the charge, and I don't know, the charge of him being fired, the former one, was that he inappropriately benefited on the state money that was not necessarily due to benefit, which is now this, what you say, but your letter did say applicable remuneration. I want to ask you, and maybe put it to you, don't you think that the charge that you are putting to Mr. Lazar, the worst charge that you should have put to yourself, is working out a scheme which you called in 2015 September functioning board. You have a five functioning executive board that deal with the matter on a day-to-day basis. With that process, you benefited. You paid yourself lump sum good money. And some of the invoices I can remember, it even had how do you cost the SMS that was received from the chair to the board. SMS received doing XYZ equals money on the side. So So when you acted on the SMS from the chair, you put the price to it. That's a vote. You got that money. Without anybody deciding that money, the minister did not give you agreement on that. You paid yourself. And when we met with you last year, you still did not disclose until we've asked you the questions, did you pay yourself this kind of money? And then, reluctantly, we actually draw that painfully out of yourself. And some of the board members decided not to come to that board meeting. The chair did say we did pay ourselves this money. And I think some money stretches to 2 million, some of it was good money that you received outside of the normal board meetings. So you paid yourself this lump sum handsomely. And you're still at the board of Prasa. That money was irregular or illegal. Now we know that you're supposed to pay it back, because the minister did not agree that you must pay yourself this kind of money. There was no permission for it. So if Mr. Letswalo has fallen on the sword of paying himself, negotiating himself, but so far when I see the letters here, I see other people that it's a communication where the people are deciding. But you are directly involved in your own decision, and you paid yourself. Why are you still here? The same moral that you're judging. Why is it different when it comes to you? Why? Are you still fit for the office? Brings me to this question, Chair. This question that you stopped Mr. Letswalo when he was venturing into it. Let me just venture into it. It may seem to me that the issue, this is a scapegoat. This issue about paying yourself money is a scapegoat by the board. The real reason that you did want the Letswalo gone, because you wanted to pay to meet your obligation with the Werksman. Remember when you came to us last year, you said 100 million. We said, but where are you going to get it from? And we said, we asked the group CEO, the acting, are you going to pay this money when this money is actually irregular? It's not been budgeted for, in fact. And then he left, he didn't quite say what he's going to do. But now, in his evidence, call it, for the lack of a better term, his evidence in chief there, he said, I refuse to pay this money and then this kind of money. And I don't know, he did not mention what it is. Venturing into this, he refuses to pay the money, has been refusing to pay the money, you find a slight gap, of this salary and the Sunday Times, maybe even the Sunday Times newspaper was a sponsored article. Who knows? It may have come as a document that sponsor it in publicly. When we launch it the next Monday, we will act. And we seem to be clean, we're fighting corruption. But when this happens at the board, nobody acts. And conveniently, nobody takes action to you, to yourself. And you can judge your own morality and actions. Did the group, the new group CEO, pay the invoice of Werksman? I want to know this question. Or did the board give instructions that a day later, after Mr. Letswalo was booted out, the check was signed to the tune of 127 million rand? Was it paid or was it not paid? And if it is paid, on what budget? Which budget is it paid on? We told you last year that Treasury budgeted $25 million for the same investigation. Why pursuing this investigation when you don't have the money? So, Chair, let me come to the towards the end. This answering this question will probably shed a light on why Litswalo was actually booted out. Not so much about 5.9 million, because you yourself in your letter, you said this is what is due to you based on the remuneration policy is going to be applicable to you. And Mr. Bitton, you chair the REMCO, and you. Can you explain what is the package, as you know it, for that particular position, which conveniently you did not seem to know it when you were presenting? Just explain to us what it is that you meant. Chair, let me say, 16th August, the resolution to fire, we did ask for the copy of that resolution. And I must say that, Chair Onam, that issue, the disturbing phenomenon that happened during this period, we waited until December to get the information that we requested in September when the board was there. And the company secretary did not know what exactly we wanted at the time, and there's been backwards and forward message about what actually we wanted as a committee. Didn't quite remember what we wanted when we had 2-day meeting about this information. We wanted these resolutions and other decisions. The second firing was December 2016. Even that one was turned down by the shareholder. So the opportune one, opportunistically acted upon, this is my view, my opinion. It is when the newspaper, sponsored newspaper article hits the front page. It is a sponsored article, that one, clear without no doubt. You could see it, and you could see the action behind it. It's a sponsored kind of a... Now, we do have a PMSA. We do have the law that governs the operations. There are... The question is going to whether the... If all is said and done, the decisions about the expenditure of VERX money is not going to come back and bite the board. In other words, whether you're going... You're not going to find yourself in a situation where you have to pay for it, that you will be attached for paying for that Bergsman's bill. Probably it's continuing. Today's 127, tomorrow is going to be 130. That you made that decision. When we warned you in 2015 August, you remember when we said this, you are going to collapse PRASA. You're going to kill this institution. Your objective is not clear. The truth is the acting director general says there is a collapse. We can see it, and we're going to deal that with that issue with the issue about metros later. We can see it is happening. So, are you still fit for office? I ask. And I answer that in the negative. Given that what you have done, what you say Colin has done, you've done more than that, more crime than that. Let me leave it there, Chair. I will come back with the others because I actually categorize this in what I call, if it was a correct language, I would have said, it is lie one, lie two, lie three, lie four, lie five, lie six. I got 7 of them. And I did say that at the beginning, let's try and be truthful for what you say. But here I summarize what I see as being economic with the truth of what is being presented. Up to 7. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Let's have the copy of those up to July 7. Thank you. Honorable Kaleb.
Thank you, Chair. Hey, Chair, this is very bad. I don't see a difference between what happened in the SAPC and what is happening in PRAS. But it's worse because we are appropriating money to PRAS, you know, every financial year. Maybe I should say, Chair, until this board is out, I'm not going to vote any money for PRAS. That one, I promise you. I said it even before that this board is corrupt. And I'm not excusing myself from saying that, Chair. I'm not going to apologize. The board is corrupt. I'm still saying it. The only thing that needs to happen here, this board needs to be dissolved, and an inquiry should also follow. In that inquiry, we must also invite the SIU. People should be arrested. People should be arrested because they know very well what they've done. No, Chair. The board was appointed 2014. It's 2017 now. What have they done? Dololo. Chair, when they get appointed, the first thing that they initially done, they came with a strategy of firing the CEO then. The CEO then was dismissed 2015. After that, they appointed an acting GCO. Because the GCO, I guess, I'm assuming, Chair, he didn't want to comply with whatever that they wanted. Probably didn't want to pay or he didn't want to appoint whatsoever that they had an interest. And he was booted. And after that, the minister went there to try and assist. And they appointed the acting group CEO, which is Mr. Lutwana. Within 6 weeks, Mr. Litswalo, we haven't started even your work properly, but you are already being fired. What is the meaning of this? And it was said, there was a particular excuse that was made. But that thing, Chair, you know, you can see that there was a proper planning out of it, as Ravatlakane is saying. In December, they also tried. It doesn't succeed. Now, they must involve media because the media is their friend. And when a friend comes in, the society will alarm. Hey, we are going to exactly, yeah. But how come? I can't understand. Well, I'm happy that the ACDG has just clarified that there's what we call secondment allowances. Well, Mr. Lizwal, you know very well you don't make threats. In life, you normally don't make threats. That's why, I mean, when I mention things, I mention things because I have evidence. Hopefully now you will also find time and apologize to those who you make threats to. Because, as Orazan was saying, you must apologize on your behalf. No, Chief, Sinas Ngein Lab, it's not our responsibility to apologize for you. You must apologize for yourself if you feel it was wrong. And if you don't feel it was wrong, Nalapo, it's your business. Chair, there's a request. The board should not appoint any person. We've seen that you've advertised the post of the group CEO, and all other posts that you've advertised, don't appoint anybody. Your term is ending now. Because if you do appoint, it means you want to rule from the grave. And you can't rule from the grave. In an actual sense, check. You must write a letter to the president. You must address this matter. Because it seems like even the minister and I is still telling about this matter. Maybe the president must reshuffle the cabinet.
Withdraw. That is not the position of the committee.
No, no, no. It's my personal opinion, Che.
Yeah.
Not of the committee. My personal. I'm speaking on my personal opinion, Che. We. I'm owning up. I'm owning up. I won't really tell about this thing. Che, it's very much important that you must be able to understand. Ugochi, this matter, I still believe, Che, I've got an assumption that he was fired because we announced that he must close the tap. I and some trailer man, that's Valalem Poppy fan. Why Valum fan Poppy? Sweet! I'm Valega man. Then, but oh, yeah, I'm shy. So it means any person that's not going to comply with the advice of the portfolio committee is going to be heated. No, but it's a fact, Che. It's a fact, Che. Oh, okay. Apology. But we request that, Che, the appointment of any person from PRAS should not be done. And if they do so, that means, Che, they want to rule from the grave. And in terms of the law, you can't appoint while you're exiting. You are given responsibility to appoint when you were appointed 2014. You failed to do so. You can't appoint at the last end when you're exiting unless you want to rule from the grave. And the society must know that you are not honest with yourselves. And you are not working for the society of this country, but you are also working for your own pockets. It's unfortunate that others, we've advised them that they must pay the money back, that they benefited unduly without the authorization from the minister. I know very well that Mr. Steenkamp refused that. Hey, not going to pay me. And if that's the case, I say Fagai SIU. We've got our state legalities that must also address this matter. A person knows very well that it benefited unduly, must pay back the money. If he doesn't pay back the money, we're going to follow it up until everybody pays every little cent that they've benefited unduly. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Keko.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. Chairperson, I am...
Okay.
Chairperson, I agree with the previous speakers, but let me put it my way to ask the similar questions that they have asked. If you listen to the previous speakers, they are asking the same questions, but they may get different answers. I was to ask whether you call it an agreement, but there was a communique between the board and the minister about the secondment, and that secondment were also advised as the committee. And you accepted the secondment of Mr. Lukuswalo to PRASA. What I'm interested in knowing is this issue of remuneration, was it discussed then, or is it an issue now, the issue of secondment? The issue of remuneration now, bridging the gap between what he was getting there in the department and what he is supposed to get now that he is an acting group CEO of PRAS. Coming to the decision to terminate the secondment was termination the first and last issue. Did the board advise the minister about what they have just found that there is an irregularity in the issue of remuneration? Did they just terminate the secondment and advise the minister thereof, or did they advise the minister before they terminate the contract? My other question would be similar to what the honorable member, the last speaker, has said. I was to ask, now that they were given a mandate to appoint a group CEO and the deadline was the April 2017, at what stage are they now with that recruitment? I was to advise on the issue that the honorable Hadebe has just said, because it is now late for them to appoint, but we want to be updated. At what stage is that recruitment now? Lastly, Chair, you see, I once said, you are a board of PRASA. PRASA is an entity of the department. But the board likes to account to the public. We always get your problems from the public, as it is the case now. And we think as portfolio committee members, we are the ones that account to the public. We are the ones that must tell the public, because we are guarding against whatever that may happen in those entities and in the department. Let me stop there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, honorable members. I just want to echo the sentiments that has been echoed by my colleagues here. PRASA has got a mandate of making sure that we up the stakes in terms of economy. We make sure that there's a social responsibility of making sure that our people can be able to go from point A to point B, whether in buses or in trains. But I want to say I'm highly disappointed that since 2014, this board, ever since it has been appointed, we have never received any substantive issues which actually is able to live up to this mandate of PRASA, which actually should be able to see that we grow the economy, we follow the sustainable development goals going into SADC, making sure that we up the stakes and as we go into Africa. We have never received that. Actually, to me, what becomes very challenging is the parastatal has never been able to come to us and say, this is the plan of action that we would really want to execute. Every time we come here, there are problems. There are very serious problems that actually bless the vision of PRASA to can be able to deal with the issues. I want to say I'm highly, highly disappointed that you have men and women of your caliber as board members who actually you would expect that they will be able to uphold issues of governance, be able to steer this train or buses in such a way that it doesn't get derailed. But every time we come here, it's derailment and derailment of everything that you are doing, which actually an indication that you put in asunder, you put asunder issues of governance. Because if you are dealing with issues of governance on a regular basis, as and when you meet as a board, we wouldn't be having this type of a situation. I mean, Collins Letswalo arrives, was it June or July in Prasa? Within 6 weeks, he's shown a boot. What exactly did, what were the issues which made him to be shown the door within 6 weeks? What is it that he didn't or did do which actually made him to be shown the door to say, you, Letswalo, really, this is the route that you should be able to go? Because we asked this thing last year when the board was here to say, it was not the board. It was only Dr. Molefe who was here. The other board members did not even come. Which brings me to the other point of, do we really have a board in Prasa? The conduct of the board when it comes to this committee leaves much to be desired. Disrespect of the committee by the board, because when Dr. Molefe was here, we asked him, can we get an indication as to what exactly is happening? We know that some board members were saying that we're not going to attend as long as Mr. Letswalo will be attending this meeting. We will not going to be attending. We know those type of things. We know the shenanigans which are happening in the board. And that is why when members are saying that, really, recuse yourself, resign as the board before we do the SABC one to you, which actually will discredit you. You will never serve in any board if we do exactly what has happened in the SABC. We don't want to go that route. But we're going to be writing a letter to the minister. We will copy the president to say, 3 years down the line, you have shown nothing else but dispute after dispute after dispute. Where have you seen it that in 3 years you've got, this is the fourth. This is the fourth man. And I wonder how long is he going to be. Probably he will last because you are in exit as a board. He will definitely last because you are in exit. And to us, that it doesn't gel. It doesn't augur well. Can you be able to show us? Because most of the contracts have been terminated. Prasa has been taken to court because of the termination of most of these contracts. When the minister say, can you talk to issues of Werksbund? You say, the minister is talking about 100 million at the expense of 4 billion. Where does that money come from? Because we as the committee has never appropriated on this that we're seeing as Werksbund. We are not going to take it lying down as the portfolio committee, because we know that you did not go out on tender. Werksbund was just called into a meeting and be given a job. We want something that people can be able to compete around. Tell us, how did it happen that they got the deal without necessarily going out on tender, and the deal that is endless. To me, I take it is endless because aina matomo li mafelo, this deal ya Werksbund. It is just continuing. 127 million now, we are told, by Friday last week. We don't know how far it's still going to be going. Why are the terms of reference? Can we be given the terms of reference of Werksbund so that we are able to know what exactly brings about this big bill that is there? My colleagues have really covered me on the question of the contract between DOT and the board on the secondment of Mr. Letswalo, which actually we would like to see that contract come into the committee. Obviously, we will get it now before we leave this room, because you've got it, former company secretary has got it, who's the acting group CEO. He will be able to send it to our committee secretary so that we can be able to acquaint ourselves, familiarize and acclimatize ourselves with the contract that was signed between the department and the board of Prasa as Mr. Letswalo was being appointed, so that when we point the finger on the 350%, we're able to know where are our fingers going to? Because now it's a ping pong between the board and Mr. Letswalo. It's a ping pong. We're not here to judge as to who has done what, but I want to emphasize what has been told to us on a regular basis, that fiduciary duty is what the board is all about. You are executing your fiduciary duty. And this, to us, it's a very important aspect. And we were really elated that you are executing your fiduciary duty. Indeed, we see... Who is representing the minister in the board? You know, to me, I take it that the persons who will be representing the minister, the DDG who's in charge of PRASA, they should be able to monitor on a regular basis, which actually I don't see that happening. They should be able to evaluate the impact of programs that are there in PRASA. Every day when you listen to SAFM, especially here in the Western Cape, I just pity the regional director, because if it was me, my heart would just stop. On a daily basis, the train are not on time. The train have been rescheduled. People getting late to work and stuff like that. Here in the Western Cape, it's so painful, because these trains, same as in Mabopane, same as in Soweto, you get those types. But here, it's like our Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. The train will not arrive on time. The train will never be there. It's a daily bread here in the Western Cape. So you just pity the regional director. Last time when the board was here, we asked when the acting group CEO was saying, we are making an arrangement with Transnet so that we can be able to piggyback on what the tender of Transnet in terms of maintenance is like, in terms of buying spare parts. We would want to piggyback on that. And you get kind of satisfaction, but when you hear that there's an acting CE of engineering, you start to say, you just lose interest, because you know that acting probably next week you will be out. Somebody comes and acts and just on and on like that, and therefore that is why you see a situation which actually is happening in the Western Cape. There is, from the department, there is very little monitoring, there is very little evaluation of the impact of programs of PRASA. And to me, I'm not sure, acting DG, if you get regular reporting from these people as to what is happening in PRASA, because if that was the situation, you wouldn't be having this that we're seeing if you're getting regular reporting in terms of what is happening in PRASA from the board, from the representative in the board, from the DDG who's in charge of PRASA. You wouldn't be, we wouldn't be seated here. I'm disappointed, because I'm sitting here, Duko Ambazuchele. I'm sitting here, Nibalabula Schele Nfena. I'm sitting here not talking progress. We are representative of the Republic of public representative in the Republic of South Africa. We should be talking progress to say, how are we taking, how are we making sure that the people of the Republic are benefiting out of this that we appropriate? I want to align myself with what one of my colleagues have said, that, come crunch time, we're not going to agree to appropriate to PRASA. Come, the minister puts a budget, we will deal with all the other budgets, but definitely, as long as this board is still around, PRASA will never see light of the day in terms of us giving them money so that they can be able to just decide willy-nilly which company to appoint without going out on tender. That is wrong. In terms of the South African law, it is wrong. You can't really do that. We look clumsy that we have given you money so that you can be able to use that money willy-nilly. We look really clumsy as the portfolio committee. And we look very clumsy because the president, together with the president of France, have said this is how it's going to work in terms of the trains, locomotives, whatever you call it. Now, it's that the contracts have been cancelled and stuff like that. And where the decision that has been taken by the executive in the Republic of South Africa, where do you put it as a board when you do these things? We're not saying that there has not been a fraudulent or corrupt activities in PRASA, but as you're doing that, are you thinking of the public that are using your assets? Are you thinking of the public that are using the trains on a regular basis? Because they are pushing the economy of the Republic of South Africa. Are you really very considerate? Luna Alena Matata, because you can be able to drive your car and go to work. But these ones who are using this state assets, which actually have been run down. Remember the other time when the portfolio committee called PRASA, amongst other things that was said was that the trains cannot be able to run the way they are supposed to because there is no maintenance of the railway lines in this regard. But what is the focus of the board? The board focus on Afro 400. What is the focus of the board? The board will focus on other things. The critical things which are maintenance, the board is never saying anything to them. The critical things which actually affect most of our cities. You go to Durban, it's a problem. You go to Pretoria, it's a problem. You go to Johannesburg, you come here in Cape Town, it's a problem. Because these are the areas which are affected. And I'm not even going to go into Intersite or Autopex, whatever. I don't even want to go there. But the crux of the matter is be very considerate about the public of the Republic that are using these assets, because we should be expanding. The trains are dwindling on a daily basis. They are dwindling precisely because we don't have a plan in place, precisely because we're not very considerate with what is happening. The board was here through Dr. Molefe, we were very elated that there is a turnaround strategy which is just about to be unfolding. And we requested that, would like to see that turnaround strategy. It hasn't arrived, has it? No, it hasn't arrived. Probably we will be able to get the turnaround strategy as to progress to date on that. Together with the turnaround strategy, we want to also get on an annual basis the shareholder compact. We want to see the shareholder compact as to what exactly is entailed in that. If we don't request the shareholder compact, we definitely, we haven't received it last year, not unless maybe most of the time I wasn't there and we didn't. But I would want to say to Mr. Pitani and Mr. Steenkamp, I'm really, really disappointed. Let's talk progress than to talk detail borago. Detail. I've always said to Dr. Molefe, Ntlolorolo ga e tswale kgosi. And I would still want to say it to you. Ntlolorolo ga e tswale kgosi. E ka tsoge le ka letsatsi le leng e ka tsoge. I'm sorry I'm doing it to you like the other lady did. In essence, what I'm saying is, where there is dispute, in my indigenous language, we say where there is dispute, there will never be leadership. There will never be leadership where there is dispute. This is, in essence, what I'm saying to the two gentlemen there, that it will never happen that they will be able to show leadership to PRASA as long as their focus is on dispute and dispute-related matters. Who's going to be responding? Ntate Steenkamp, let me give it to you. I don't know, you will divide it into how we're going to be doing it. And let's see how far we can be able to push it. Honorable members, can we be here, out of here, say around 1:15, the latest? I can see you, honorable member. I just wanted to stop here. We couldn't get permission that we continue while there's a sitting. Apparently, there's going to be several votes. I don't know. So if we can be here.
Chair, may I make a suggestion, please?
Okay. Honorable member?
I don't. My concern is I don't want the people to respond to be rushed. And even if it is still 1:15, even if it's 2, I believe it still get them to rush. I want to make the following proposal, that they prepare their response perhaps in writing. I mean, we can listen to a few kind of general comments now, as they respond in detail to us, and we get that information, and then possibly invite them back once we have that information. I just don't want to cut the debate short, because there's a lot that's been said from our side, and we need to give them a fair response time. So I'd like to make that suggestion.
Honourable member, I appreciate what you're saying, but I can tell you that we last time we said that they must give us responses in writing. They never did that. So we are coming back tomorrow. We want to deal with the outstanding issues. So I appreciate. We will see. Probably the acting group CEO will be able to assist us in this regard. Honorable Sibande.
Chairperson, just a comment. I wanted to remind them before they respond about Section 157 again. And also to emphasize that to us, it's very...
Would you want to read that section?
No.
Would you want to read that section for them? Just
read
it on your website.
There must be truth, ma'am. Simple as that. And then that is it. And then secondly, last one, Chairperson, like the proposal which was proposed by my colleague the other side is correct, but from our legal experience, how many times do we request for a written reply? And how many times we requested the board to come to us? They change. If the chairperson of the board is here, other people are not here. If the other people are here, the chairperson of the board is not here. So let them. We request them that they respond. We can sacrifice the only 1 hour that we don't go to lunch. We don't go to eat. We'll wait.
Okay. I'm just reading, quoting it. Please be informed that by law, you are required to answer fully and satisfactorily to all the questions lawfully put to you, or to produce any documents that you may require to produce in connection with the subject matter of inquiry, notwithstanding the fact that the answers or the document could incriminate you or expose you to a criminal or civil proceeding or damages. You are, however, protected in that evidence given under oath or affirmation before this House or this committee may not be used against you in any court or place outside Parliament, except in criminal proceeding concerning a charge of perjury for charges relating to the evidence or documents required in these proceedings. Close quote.
Let me get the response from PRASA.
Honourable Chair, let me say thank you very much to you. I want to say to the leadership here, I'm extremely grateful for this engagement, because you have afforded us an opportunity to to set the record straight. Chair, the one commitment I want to give to you is that whatever documentation you had requested, you will have it, and I can even give a deadline by Friday for the very latest. Some we can provide today, others we can provide tomorrow. Whatever other written responses are required, we will provide to and I'm giving the personal undertaking, Chair, that our acting group CEO, fortunately, also used to be the custodian of all documents and reports and minutes of the board. So we can provide that by Friday for the very latest. Secondly, Chair, I need to correct a perception amongst the leadership here that the board had been disrespectful of the PCOT. If I speak on my behalf, Chair, I had not missed one invitation except for the last one. We had requested, Chair, we had requested our chairman of the board to request the chair of the honorable chair of the PCOT to kindly postpone the meeting. We were notified about the meeting on the Friday. My mom had to go for surgery the Monday and the Tuesday. And I did extend my apology in writing to the company secretary, where I even requested him to please make a special appeal to the chair of the PCOT that it is not out of disrespect. I think, Chair, I'm speaking under correction, but I think two of our board members were out of the country on other matters outside of Prasa matters. And then, because it was primarily inviting the chairpersons of the respective board committees. So it wasn't a deliberate snub, irrespective, Chair. And let me allow me to say this. Irrespective of whatever sideline discussions or meetings or talks were given to anybody, there was no intent on the board to snub and or disrespect the PCOT. I needed to clarify that, please, Chair. The second issue, Chair, that I also need to clarify. It's shocking to hear, Chair, that our leadership here of Parliament, and you see, Chair, I take it very personal, our parliamentarians have been elected by the ordinary masses and everybody in this country. Nobody enjoys the right and or the privilege to come to our parliamentarians and feed them with mis- or disinformation and with untruths, which is not true. When it comes to the issue of the board fees, Chair, we're talking supplementary board fees for supplementary meetings. Our policy guided us in that matter, Chair. I'm amazed to hear that we are even paid for SMSs. We made millions in the transaction. The detailed report will come to you, Chair. I'm giving you the commitment that I'm going to be providing the PCOT with the truth on the issues. So that you are not given the distorted version that you're currently having around the supplementary meetings, supplementary fees for supplementary board meetings. We will go further, Chair, and give you an indication as to how many other meetings that we attended as Prasa board members we were not paid for. But just for the record, Chair, what we were supposed to be paid as board members, we took a decision as a board, Chair, that we are only taking 25% of the money that was due to the board for that financial year. Any other version, Chair, and once again, I'm very happy that Honorable Ramatakani had quoted from the laws and the prescripts of parliamentary rules. Any other version is not the truth. And we will back up the statement I am making to you now with documentary evidence, Honorable Ramadlakhani, because whatever version has been given to you, it is most unfortunate. I could not understand, Chair. And Honorable Khadira is correct. Once again, I'm not sure where the information came from, but I did say, Chair, in a few meetings, board meetings, I do not see the reason for me having to repay fees that were due to me. In actual fact, I was extremely shortchanged. Prasa does not pay, Chair. I don't know where the impression is coming from that the board has enriched itself. It's painful, Chair, to hear that as much as we work, and quite frankly speaking, Chair, we like performing national duty in Prasa. I'm not defending ourselves here, Chair. But it's very painful to hear that this board is corrupt
and you are being told that by your leadership whom you had elected. It's a very painful thing, Jack. Because now you're being, all your hard efforts and your hard work is being rewarded with insults and virtual disillusioning statements that have been given to us as a board. But once again, Chair, we will come back to the PCOT. Wherever there is corruption, the leadership of the nation must do what is honorably correct and refer all of those there to the relevant law enforcement agencies. I want to dispel the notion, Chair, that may be out there, that this board had arrived in August 2014 and it arrived with a deliberate intent, Chair, to destroy executives. I had been the one, Chair, amongst my other board members, where we had said, you know, it's, and I can make the statement, Chair, if you allow me to make the statement, where I had said, and I've not been apologetic when I say this, and I'm not saying it with disrespect, Chair, but I've been saying this. We had, at the stroke of a pen in 1994, forgiven cruel, inhuman, brutal atrocities done to black people for very many years. And we embarked upon a campaign of reconstruction and nation building. And therefore, you must forgive those who even killed your parents, killed your family members, killed for no apparent reason under the guise of it was a political instruction that was given. But when a black executive today transgresses, it is almost as though you embark upon a vicious campaign of trying to crucify that black executive to a point where you want to ensure he is actually finding himself in the doldrums of absolute despair. Then you are a happy man. But then you will continue forgiving those who have done so many terrible things for so many years against the nation. Now, I don't know, Chair, how that reconciles with the deliberate intent that we invoked upon as a board to come in and destroy executives. It wasn't the intent. Let me clarify a matter, please, Chair. Lucky Montana had issued a letter to the board in March of 2015. Lucky Montana's contract was supposed to have terminated, or the end of his contract was his contract was coming to an end on the 31st of March 2016. He had requested the board in March of 2015 to release him earlier by the end of November. He had explained to the board that he had been engaging the chairman since November of 2014 when we arrived. That is the explanation he had given to the board, Chair. He had informed the chairman of the board that he felt in November of 2014 already that he's done his job. The time has come for him to move on, and therefore, since he had inducted the board, he had given the board leeway to move on, and therefore he wants to move. And the chairman of the board, Dr. Molefe, had persuaded him and said, we just arrived. How do you leave us disabled? You know the board is not having any transport experts or specialists or rail specialists. So you're gonna have to guide us and see your term to its end. So when it came to Maastricht and he gave us the letter and the board accepted it, a different campaign unfolded. Up until what transpired on the 15th of July, 2015, I'm just trying to repeat what has happened. It is recorded. There are ministers there, Chair. It's not to say the board came with a deliberate intent or strategy to dismiss Mr. Montana. Chair, let me touch on the other question of, and let me admit here to the leadership. Director Pattani, I consulted with him and he's confirming. We do not have an MOU or an agreement with the department regarding the secondment, Honorable De Freitas. We don't, Chair. It was a very difficult process to manage, Honourable Chair. When the minister, in all genuineness, when the minister approached the board on the 30th of June, 2016, requesting the board to accommodate her request to second Mr. Letswalo to PRASA, the board said it will deliberate on the request, which we did on the 30th of June, 2016, Honourable Chair. In our board meeting, the key fundamental questions being asked here today are the questions the board asked itself on the day, Chair. Questions, example, like term of tenure. What are the fundamental key objectives that we have to prioritize? And the range of questions we had asked ourselves on the day, Chair, we could not answer. We had then requested the chairman of the board, on the 30th of June, please try to convene a meeting with the minister at the very earliest convenience, so that we could actually talk to a range of questions. We then agreed, Chair, with our minister to meet on the 7th of July. We convened on the 7th of July. Unfortunately, Chair, on the day, the minister could not make it. Now, on the 7th of July, Chair, fortunately for us, the one aspect that aided the board, and we were not aware of it, Chair, the minister then sent a letter to Mr. Letswalo, where basically the minister had approved the secondment of Mr. Letswalo. I'm very happy that Acting DG has clarified that what the minister was speaking to was basically speaking to the position of Mr. Letswalo at the department, and not to do with PRASA per se. Now, many things happen, Chair, and we can compile a report for you, Chair, for this committee. We're not shirking the responsibility or trying to run away from the response, but we can give you a detailed report as to what transpired. Because now, the Honourable Leadership here is asking us as to what happened on the 16th of August. Once again, Chair, it was a very difficult relationship to manage. We consequently had a meeting with the Minister on the 26th of September, on the day we had our AGM. The Minister then announced on the day, Chair, of 26th September, that Mr. Letswalo will be seconded to PRASA for a period of 6 months, starting effectively 1 July 2016. And therefore, the secondment will come to an end on the 31st of December. That is what the minister pronounced on the day, Chair, because we had asked her some of these questions. When we had our stress workshop regarding the turnaround plan at the end of November, 2016, Chair, the board had to then pronounce as to whether, because 31 December was coming towards literally a month away, the board had to then decide as to whether we are extending Mr. Letswalo's contract or whether we are sticking to the agreement around the 6 month secondment. We then took a decision by virtue of two elements, Chair, that influenced the decision. One, PRASA's acting policy allows for a period of 6 months. Beyond that, you have to then, as a board, extend. Now, Chair, we have an agreement with the minister, not in writing, but we accepted the minister's request to second Mr. Letswalo. There is no MOU. There isn't a document that speaks to the question that Honourable Leadership here is asking of us. For example, how did you upfront already negotiate and agree to the remuneration, for example? The period for how long Mr. Letswalo would be acting. So all of those elements, as stipulated in the PSA, would have actually been in the MOU or in the agreement. So that was not there. Now, we then agreed at the end of November, Chair, that the term will come to an end on the 31st of December, but in light of the festive season, we're then going to ask the minister to give us an extra month or the extension by a month to the 31st of January for Mr. Letuaro's period to be acting. The minister then in turn, and we had not as yet communicated with the minister chair, although the decision was to communicate with the minister by the end of the month, but the chairman had to go away. The minister in turn sent a letter on the 2nd of December, as acting DG had correctly outlined. Our letter then only went to the minister on the 20th of December, informing the minister of the board's decision of the end of November. So we then had our first quarterly normal board meeting at the end of January. I think it was on the 27th of January. That meeting decision basically re-emphasized the position that Mr. Lutuaro's acting role will come to an end on the 31st of January as per the decision we had taken as a board. We therefore requested for a meeting with the minister to then inform the minister around the board's decision and the deliberation, the rationale, and everything else that informed that decision. And we had not been successful in securing that meeting with the minister. So we had met to then approve a corporate plan and as well as the shareholder compact, but unfortunately we had not received the shareholder compact from the department as yet. It was the last Friday of February. It is unfortunate, Chair, that the board is now accused, or an allegation is made against the board, that we stage managed the whole exiting of Mr. Letuaro, and we actually solicited the support and the buy-in of the media to reinforce. Our decision, Chair, we had taken the Friday had nothing to do with the media, Chair. In actual fact, like I'm saying, Chair, we took the decision already in November and re-emphasized on the 27th of January, Chair. It was a matter of communicating that decision to the minister. Now, 2 weeks prior to the Sunday Times article around the 350% increase, 2 weeks prior to that, Chair, the chairman was already contacted by the media, and we had no idea what the media was talking about. The department was inquired, acting DG is correct, because acting DG was saying that if you're asking me about, acting DG's office had said, any inquiry regarding PRASA, go to PRASA. And it came to the chair of the HC committee. And the HC committee had said, no, the board had not pronounced on the matter, quite frankly speaking, no, we're dealing with our own issues here. Now, the investigation around whatever has come to the chair, the HC committee chairperson can actually deal with that. I'm just trying to clarify how the events unfolded that led to the board taking a decision that had absolutely nothing, a pure coincidental, Chair. It may, whether the leadership here is going to be believing what we're saying to you, Chair, but we had nothing to do, like nothing to do with the whole saga regarding the Sunday Times and the decision taken on the Monday. Because in actual fact, we took that decision on the Friday already prior to the media article. It was only enacted on the Monday. Let me go further, Chair, and say, when the article appeared on the Sunday, we were then informed that Mr. Letuaro is going to be convening a press conference. The board communicated with each other telephonically, and we had said, call off the media conference. We are meeting in the morning the HC committee as well as the chairman of the board as per board decision or board instruction. So then meet with Mr. Letuaro on the Monday morning. We will meet with you at Plaza House. Mr. Letuaro defied and refused to call on the media conference, Chair, because there was no need, because we had said we need to manage the process. We have not even managed to get hold of the minister yet because the minister was in hospital, to then inform about the board's decision. Mr. Letuaro insisted and he carried on with the media conference, Chair. And he then took the media conference outside of Plaza premises and then went hold the media conference elsewhere against the board's instruction. Then it became a media circus, Chair. Then you could no longer contain it, you could no longer manage it. It became very, very difficult. Now, the issue that unfolded thereafter, Chair, we know it's history now. Very unfortunately. Very unfortunately, soldier. I want to agree with you. It is rather disappointing. It's a sad saga. It is not something that we want to be, the space we want to be in, Chair. Because quite frankly speaking, Chair, we came here with our own credibilities and our own reputations. We didn't come to Plaza to be destroyed. I don't think anybody, you know, I carry my father's name. I've got no reason to want to dishonor my father. He's been late for almost 17 years. Why would I want to get involved in things that, in the end, tomorrow, you ask yourself that what was the value in this whole thing? So we're not here, Chair. As much as we hear what the leadership is saying, that we are not communicating proper with the portfolio committee, because now the portfolio committee is getting whatever is happening within PRASA from the media. The minister had asked us at the time, please desist from engaging the media any further. Last week, the request came. And instantly, Chair, we responded. Instantly. There was no defiance of the minister. But the boss, in light of what transpired, we had to set the record straight. But it wasn't a matter of the board actually using the media to achieve whatever objectives there are in that regard, Chair. Chair, I so many things were said, Chair. So many things were said. But I think primarily we're going to have to respond to the honorable leadership in writing, Chair. If it means putting a detailed report together and engaging on the matters, but I just think some of the pertinent one or two key issues that Director Pisani has to respond to, Chair, just to clarify some of the matters.
Mr. Pisani, FTDG, you will follow,
Chair,
on issues.
Thank you very much once more, and it's my first time here, Chair, and a little bit disappointed with the manner in which the public representatives are actually addressing us while we are dealing with issues that needs to be dealt with. I did not appoint myself to become a PRASA board member, and I'm not getting any benefits whatsoever. In fact, if I could actually disclose how much I'm losing to be in PRASA to try and assist, all of you will be disappointed. But I'm not going to deal with that. But also, I need to deal with issues that I raised, that somebody was called to come and close the tap. I'm not aware that there are taps in PRASA, and I'm not sure what is coming out of that tap. But in any case, I'm not even interested, because I even said to the minister that, you know what, I feel very abused being a PRASA board member, because I am required to do so much, yet I'm not even rewarded. And the millions that have been said, I'm not sure. All what I'm talking, that I know, it was just around 100,000. So I'm not sure what millions were basically that we secured ourselves, honorable members. But the report would actually clarify that, because I don't know about the millions that members are talking about, but they will deal with that. And that was done according to the policy, and all what the minister had to do was to rectify it. And leadership, I need to indicate to you that maybe it's where you are seated, you think probably when you go to PRASA, we take our time and deal with other issues. We really deal with issues. PRASA is quite complicated in itself and in nature. And the manner in which things were done before, anything that you do in PRASA, you need to retrace all the time and go back and try and correct it. From appointment, from structure, from any other thing that you could think of in PRASA, everything was not done properly and accordingly. So as you proceed, you would find that you had a tender that was supposed to be awarded, but you go back and deal with the issues of probity, you would find that not all the laws were followed. Now what do you do? Do you go back? Do you proceed with it? It's wrong. And then you have to sort that verse all the time. That is the problem that we have in PRASA. And if members could probably even go and sit with us and have a look and appreciate what is actually happening, they can bring the SIU, and of course, and the rest has been promised. They will find nothing on to what we are dealing with. In fact, even the tenure of Mr. Lezola, we were hardly there. We were called to get to the meeting and then leave there. That was it. So that is the situation. So we don't have any other thing of any interest that we're having PRASA, except, of course, to deal with matters that way of fiduciary responsibilities. And also in executing the very same duties, it's an environment that in itself is very intoxicated. In executing that, and I'm telling you, that type of environment, you can bring anybody that you could think of, that you think would be easy for that person to come and deal with issues in Prasa, it would be very problematic. The other thing, leadership, we don't even have contact numbers of the media. If it was sponsored, well and good, Prasa. Prasa issues are always in the paper. Whether you like it or not, whether it's a document that comes to us, it goes via the paper. And in some instances, the issues that you would come or, you know, have an opportunity of having a look at or are displayed in public is because of court issues, where obviously they become public documents as submissions are made and investigations are done. That is exactly what is happening. We have no issues with any executive. The problem that you have, that you also need to appreciate why you were saying that we dealt with this matter, this man was dismissed before. We started, the minister came and announced and we agreed. We did not have a problem. All what the minister had to come back and do is to tell us what are the terms and conditions of the secondment. And at that particular moment, while we were still waiting for the ministers to come, Mr. Lizolo had to work. Now, in working, after getting the very same letter that says annualized salary, in accordance to the policies, there was supposed to be engagement. Hence, the submission went to transport 3 months down the line. It was simply because there was no agreement in the process. I personally tried to intervene. And then there was, of course, I'm not going to go to those because I don't think we put a report together to show you that there were some interventions, there were some deliberations. Hence, ultimately, we went to the board and we felt that, no, we can't go on like this. We can't have a group CEO that doesn't listen to us and talk to us. From the start, it did not work. I must be honest with you. From the start, it did not work. Whether it was an issue of attitude or what, but from the start, I'm not going to blame him or us, but from the start, we could not see eye to eye in terms of how to move forward. And obviously, the issue here was that's why we then sought intervention of the minister. And in fact, by the way, we felt that the minister is more harsher to us than anybody else. You know, contrary to what you probably believe, we feel that she's very harsh to us. Because we tried to get the minister to assist. We tried to, please, minister, can you assist? The situation is terrible, it's unbearable, we can't work with the way things are happening. And there was never that type of intervention. So I'm saying I can invite portfolio committee to do site visit on Prasa and sit with us and go through everything. And they will not come with what they are having now. I promise that it will be a different ball game altogether. So I honestly, without the chairperson being here, that I should invite you. I heard what the acting DG said, that he was not informed. I can say that, check. For us to follow protocol, I'm sure you have never seen me in the media nor Director Steenkamp. All what we had to do all the time is that the chairperson of the board will only be the person who communicates with other stakeholders, even including the minister. So after the board meeting or any decision that we take, we literally tell the chairperson, please go and convey the message to the minister. And he even sent an SMS on Friday evening where he told us, he showed us what the text that he has sent to the minister, but unfortunately the minister is sick. So all the time we have said that in terms of following protocol, we should not all be in the paper, and you have not seen us. I'm sure it's your first time to see us. It's because we have made sure that we don't get into that space, because I don't think it's a very right space for anybody to call or go anywhere, that Ramataka. It doesn't take us anywhere with the media. Thirdly, some of the things that obviously you have raised, that we should actually be dismissed and all that, it's okay. It's within your right to say that, but it's with information that you have that will obviously inform them. Let me indicate that the acting, or the loss of acting that you see, also comes from where, or stems from where. We had started the process of recruiting an AGCO. We dealt with all that because we felt that it would be proper that as you deal with other positions below that position, you should actually have appointed the accounting office. That process went through the recruitment agency, not us. We give it to the recruitment agency. We don't deal with that. That is why even the latest advert that went out, we gave it to the recruitment agency. All what we put together is terms of reference that are general for any position, for that position. That process went through, interviews were held, recommendations were made, and it went to the cabinet. We never got a response. We never got a response. And later, of course, we were told to restart the process. But I'm saying to you that the intention basically not also to fill in some of certain positions stems from the fact that you also one have to start with the head so that the head can also be part in terms of the recruitment. The second one is that the structure of PRASA is very problematic in itself. If you look at PRASA there as submitted, you will see that you have got AutoPEX, you have got Intercept, you have what? Now, you find that those subsidiaries also have got boards. Now, the issue is that at times there are gray area in what we are supposed to do and what they are supposed to do. Now, as a result, we need to restructure PRASA in such a manner that whatever that is being done, for instance, at AutoPEX, I mean, talks to what the corporate says or the group says. So there has to be that alignment. Now, in itself, for instance, as we are dealing with a turnaround strategy, of which Collins made a very key role in that one, we were saying that there are certain positions that need to be collapsed because we can't appoint a position that you could see that in future it won't take us anywhere. That's exactly what we are saying. But yes, I agree that in some instances, of course, we were derailed. I must agree to that chairperson that on the basis of the environment, not because of our own making, because I wouldn't like want to go there and be derailed. I have chaired boards, I've done all those things, but I've never been derailed like I'm derailed in PRASA. So I must indicate that we have got no interest of derailing PRASA. We have dealt with issues that need to be dealt with. We have got documents in front of us that we are supposed to present to you. But the problem that we have is that PRASA, there will be something always that makes sure that important things are relegated. We're in the process of turning around despite the issue of the acting group CEO, where we have developed a turnaround strategy, where we have done all what we are supposed to do and present. But that matter also, as it comes, it says, in terms of PFMA, as our fiduciary responsibility, you must take action where you see that there is a problem and account to it. And we are accounting. We said, no, this is the situation. We have dealt with the matter based on the powers that we have. But we have dealt with all issues that needs to be dealt with accordingly. So the other issues here that I need to indicate to you is that we are speaking the truth. I've got no reason to lie to honorable members. And I've got documents that I will submit here where I said that please refrain from unprofessional behavior between the executives. Can you sit down and resolve the matter? And at that particular moment, I disengaged because I then went to the chairperson, can we convene a meeting so that we resolve this issue of salary of the acting group CEO? And it never materialized, again, based on the environment. But even if I was copied, as it's been stated, of course, copying is something else, but I'm not operational. I'm not going to get into the space of executives when they are exchanging and dealing with issues. I had written one email where I advised what's supposed to be done as a matter of principle. That's, to me, that was it. Otherwise, had I gone in and then started dealing with operational issues, I would be quoted saying, but I'm a non-executive, but I'm behaving like an executive. So I need to know where my space starts and where my space ends. And I must indicate, Chair, that even identifying the problem, I did, and I brought the problem to the attention of the department, of the shareholder. I did exactly that. In the meeting where the shareholder came, I indicated all the problems that are making us not function. I stated that. I said, Minister, please deal with the environment. This is the situation. This is what we need to deal with. And then he promised, of course, that she will assist in that regard. And, of course, assistance never came because this is where we are. So it's not like we allow the situation to be where it is and then obviously acted now because somebody's closing the taps. I did not see any tap there. Maybe we'd still have to look at And the other thing, Chair, that obviously I would ask us to deal with is being called a thief. You know, Chair, when you go for elections and vote and that, and then we have public representatives and being called honorable, is because of the importance of that office. When you become a board member, being nominated to go and serve in that board is because there is a certain confidence in you. So it would also not be right from where we are seated, when the public is watching us, and see us, instead of dealing with the matters that members have been elected to, now I'm being called a thief. And I'm asking, what did I steal? When I feel short-charged in terms of me discharging my duties. Chair. So I'm saying, Chair, those are things that I feel needs to be cleared with the board, I mean, with the leadership here. And we can provide, and they can feel free at any given time to sit down with us and look at the documents. You know, informally and, you know, informally. Chair. We are open. That's why I'm saying that maybe the chair should also issue an invitation for site visit. So that they can also have a look and appreciate the difficulty that is there in terms of dealing with that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pitsani. I think the Honorable Member has apologized and withdrawn the word thief. And let me also apologize and say we profusely withdraw that word thief on behalf of other members who are here. Mr. Zide.
Thank you, Chair. There are two issues that Honorable Ramatlakane had requested that I respond to. The first, Chair, is the CVs of the acting people. I've already forwarded my CV to Valerie. Of course, it was last updated in 2015. I had not been in the market looking for a job. But I'll probably amplify it to take account of what is a gap between 15 and now 17. The second issue, Chair, was my response to an email that was sent by Hunadi. You will have an appreciation, Chair, that, and I think, Chair, it would be important that these documents are given to the portfolio committee members, for them to take time to read, because sometimes issues of context to an issue are important. And I think it would be, and as it has been stated by the chair, that a report has been submitted to the minister. And I think in that report to the minister, it details all the exchanges and the various emails, so that then there can be then a context to what I was requested to respond to. Certainly, my response to Hunadi was that, one, the protocol of writing an email and a letter, when you are addressing something to somebody, and you have people that are copied, you don't expect the person copied to respond to that email, because that person is not the subject of the email. It might be copied for information, it might be copied for a response. Now, I said to Hunadi over the phone, you guys have been writing and copying the issue. You are not bringing up anything that says this thing must go to the board. I said to Hunadi, if you want me to respond, write to me and I will respond to you. But I am accepting that in the email exchange, there is an involvement of the executive responsible for HCM, who is dealing with the matter, together with the chair of the HCM REMCO. And that was done on telephone. And the various emails will show that in all the emails I would have been copied and accepted that there is a person who is dealing with the matter, and at an appropriate time when there is finality on what they are dealing with, they will then escalate formally the matter. If it has to be placed before the board, they will do so, because executives always do so. They can discuss the issues between themselves, but at an appropriate time, then they say, we are now bringing a formal submission that must go through the board. Then we discuss that submission, and that submission will then be discussed even with the chair of a particular committee. So, Chair, I noted those two questions from Dr. Ramatlaka.
I can see Mr. Stian Campos still wants to take a bite. I've
Yeah. No. If we have to come back tomorrow through your chair, let's do so. Otherwise, we'll be ineffective. Well, to the chamber at 2. Can you rule on that? How do we continue? We still have follow-up questions, but we can't go forever.
I thought that the members were saying we leave here at 2. That is, yeah. That is what I had members saying. That's why I was proposing 1:15, but one member said we can leave at 2. Okay, I had recognized the department to say probably there are other things which actually affect the departments, which we believe the department, the CFO and the acting DG will be able to talk to. I'm going to give them at least 5. Matabata, can you share 5 minutes between yourself and... Mr. Honorable Mr. Humsinga.
Thank you, Che. Che, I would really love for us to continue, but I also heard that there's reference that we're continuing tomorrow. I can't recall receiving any notice around that. It's really important, so I'll definitely make a plan in being there. But no formal notice has been sent out, which really messes up one's planning and program. So if you could also then just inform us before we continue and suddenly break up to not to know where we will get together tomorrow, if you could then formally inform us at this very late stage about from which point we are going to continue tomorrow, where we will meet, and whether it would not be advisable then to also let the emotions settle and let's get to a more constructive meeting as to where we go from here, seeing that this is the case, what processes and remedies would be put in place not to have a repetition of this, and, you know, so that if you could give us guidance around that, but in particular I would want to have the fact minuted that it was only mentioned here that another meeting would be would take place tomorrow, and that we would actually have a flow over of this into tomorrow. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Let me indicate that the reason why I wanted to close this chapter of the meeting was that tomorrow we will be able to deal with the critical matters which actually, I take them, these are the building blocks of the economy of the Republic of South Africa. And go out of this situation, we have really exhausted the situation. That is why I was saying I give 2 minutes to the CFO and give 2 minutes to the acting DG. I give 2 minutes to Ramatlakana to close, and then 1 minute, and then we wrap and we close. Can I do that? You wanted to speak before.
Okay.
The point of before.
All I wanted to say, Chair, that's why I'm protesting and I'm sorry to do this. The acting group CEO spoke. The two members of the board spoke. None of them have answered the question. The issue about that I was asking, when you said in terms, this is applicable, the remuneration benefit are in the terms of applicability of policy. So nothing was explained what was that figure. I asked the question, did you pay Werksma? So there was no answer to that particular question. So, but maybe those questions are going to be in writing. I don't know. They didn't say that they're going to be in writing. But it's so simple thing. It's yes or no. But it looks like it's getting water out of stone.
Zida will respond to it in 1 minute.
Chair, sorry, Dr. Ramatlakane, I missed the Werksman thing. The board chair on Monday at mandated the chair of the board, the chair of the FCIP, the chair of the Audit and Risk Committee to meet. Such meeting, because of last week's issues, has not happened, but it will still happen because the board at its meeting on Friday, the 24th, had discussed the issue of the Vexman invoice and felt that there needs to be a meeting because at the inception of the engagement of Vexman was the board taking its responsibility of the irregular expenditure that was highlighted in the financial audit of 14 and 15. And therefore, there was a very detailed discussion by the board, and Vexman was invited to the board meeting to do a presentation and to have a narrowing of issues and to take forward what is it that needs to come to an end, and all those issues, Chair, were discussed by the board, and the meeting was therefore to then say, having accepted that there are issues that were delegated to management, because the board had engaged following your a meeting with the board to say, how do you narrow down this investigation? And this was delegated to management. And indeed, the acting group CEO at the time, myself, and GM Legal met with Vexman, and we requested them to triangulate the issues. Those issues that are criminal, they must be handed over to the law enforcement agencies. The cases that had been in the process should be continued with, and all the investigations that were to be found that can be dealt with by management, dealt with by management. I know that the acting group CEO at the time then felt that there are certain issues that require clarity before he can put his signature on the invoices. Those issues were pertaining to issues of the criminal investigations. And that's why then the board said, look, let us discuss those issues so that if Vexman is continuing with the criminal investigations, that decision then it be taken. Because in any event, what they had submitted was to the extent that the investigation will come to an end in June this year. And then the issues of the cases being part of the matters that were still outstanding.
I don't intimidate Lomtana, hey. This guy. 1 minute, Mr. Letswalo. 1 minute, Mr. Mokonya.
Thank you very much. Couple of things, I think, quickly. There's a letter here, the letter that the minister has sent to Dr. Molefe at the time when I was seconded. It says, secondment of Mr. C.P. Letswalo, Chief Financial Officer to the Passenger Rail Agency. At the end, it says, a copy of the letter addressed to Mr. Letswalo is attached for your information. So this thing of saying now you realize later can't be correct. Okay. The issue about... Yes, Vexman, I hear that they've been paid. Zidia must say they have been paid. He must not go meander around. The argument that we're having was the fact that they continue to do criminal investigation. I refuse to pay for it. I have said to them. In fact, they wrote to the Hawks. They are threatening the Hawks with taking them to court should the Hawks not complete the investigation in the next 2 months. Now, knowing very well that Vexman has been doing this for 1.5 yes, it's interesting that they're asking the Hawks to do it in 2 months. They tell them exactly how to do it. They ask them to hire Howard Forensics. I'll go into this matter. There is no truth to this matter. I discussed this at the board meeting. I told them I'm uncomfortable. I also told them that you can't instruct the Hawks. In fact, in there, the question was, where is the board resolution? One of the most interesting things...
It's not there.
No, one of the most interesting things that I must tell the committee...
is that they are asking the Hawks to hire private prosecutors. I disagree with that. So this name of Friday, so I talked to them, we disagree. I'm told that there is a thing called an in-committee meeting. In that in-committee meeting, they take a decision to fire me. Now, I have just given the DG the letter to staff telling them why I'm removed. It talks very clearly about these issues. It never talks about it.
Let's get all the information that you're talking to in writing so that you can be able to have an understanding of what is happening. We are running out of time. That's why I'm short-circuiting you. Mr. Mgonya.
Thank you. Chair. Chair, hopefully you'll get the information in writing. And I just wanted to deal with the issues around them, the minister. Chairperson, there's an issue around was there an agreement. When we received the letter from PRASA for the payment of the secondment allowance, we approached our legal services, and there was an issue around an MOA that was not concluded. And then the legal opinion says, the fact is that the minister has already, and we'll leave a copy, the fact is that the minister has already in writing seconded Mr. Lizwalo to PRASA, and the board of PRASA through the chairman, Dr. Mupopomolefe, acted on the secondment by signing an agreement with Mr. Lizwalo. This is what the MOU sought to achieve. In earnest, we cannot go back to the minister and the chairperson of the board and Mr. Lizwalo asking them to assign an MOA. Mr. Lizwalo has already signed a consent form on his secondment, and MOA is therefore not necessary. It's a legal opinion from the department. So the issues that were to be contained in the MOA are there. But on hindsight, you feel that they should have been consolidated in a document detailing the conditions in particular. That is the first part. But the other part, Chair, is that the minister is not well, and probably you should have loved to be here today. She's not well. She's just come out of hospital. But I feel that when the time is right, she will come and then probably deal with some of the outstanding issues. And this is the issue of where the minister is. But again, Chair, the important thing, the minister went to press. The minister wrote and went to press to say, can I intervene? If that intervention was not longer needed, the minister should have just been informed. That is what I called courtesy. But then it is on record here that the acting DG and the advisors were informed. I'm the acting DG. I was not informed. Here's one advisor who deals with PRASA matters. There are two advisors. I asked him, I said, were you informed of the termination? He says no. So we want to reiterate that the department was not informed. There's an issue around an SMS to the minister. But at the time, we all and everybody knew the minister was in hospital. So there were other people in the department that could have been informed of this decision, so that we deal with it in the manner that we would have said, but why and what are the issues and what else can be done. So those are the issues I wanted to put. But, Jefferson, I'm sure you will find space to talk to the other things. The minister is worried about the PRASA. These letters that she wrote in hospital to say, but what is happening, what about this, what about that? It's because she is worried, and she has always maintained that you spend time talking about interpersonal relations. You are not talking to the trains that are late and the trains that get broken and the trains that get damaged. So those things are there on record in terms of the minister saying, please, we will not stand in your way in terms of investigation. But it seems you prioritize those things at the expense of service delivery. So the minister is on record as having said that several times, and she's continuing to say that.
But there are many other things. I think the issue of Velsman is not ventilated enough. Perhaps the committee will find time to get enough time. There's nothing wrong dealing with a regular expenditure. You have to deal with it. But you don't, therefore, as is alleged, go and appoint regularly. As is alleged, I need to qualify that. So those are the issues. But also the issue that then there is some subcontracting and then they're forcing the police to work with certain people is very discomforting, coming from the police themselves. So that is a matter that also needs to happen. But there are many other things. I mean, we are looking at security contracts around Cape Town. We are looking at this issue of board payments. Given time, perhaps we need to also talk about it. Because, one, it was cited by the AG. It came to the portfolio committee. The portfolio committee directed the department and instructed the minister. The response that came from some of the board members is not what we are hearing today. They said, I am not going to pay. Take me to court. It's here. I have opened it. In the interest of time, I will leave the documents with the committee. So the bottom line is here, perhaps we can let's clarify this issue of minister processing the report. The minister went through the report. The minister sort of made a preliminary determination. The minister is consulting on the decision. The committee, the PT, called us a day after the report was received. But we can safely say and indicate that this matter is receiving serious and urgent attention, and the minister will come and will inform the committee when that determination has happened. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mukonyama. Honorable members, I still maintain that tomorrow I want us to be progressive by dealing with the issues on the agenda, which the meeting is going to be at Strand Hot Tower. In Strand Street, here in Cape Town, yeah, Strand Street, Strand Towers. There will be shuttles which will leave here at 9 o'clock to Strand Tower. Yeah, the first one will leave here around 8:30, and then the other one will be at 9 o'clock. Critical to me is what we should be able to deal with on Metro Rail, and also maybe we can skip the outstanding minutes and maybe make follow-ups once we finish with the Metro Rail issues, because they to me are the most crucial things. Like Mr. Mukonyama was saying, the minister talks to service delivery matters. We should be able to focus on service delivery matters, honorable members. Honorable Humsinga.
Thank you, Chair. I hear that we are going to continue more tomorrow, and I want to minute a very short notice. However, this is very important, and I want to ask you to reconsider your position, since there are many questions that has only gone one way. We are dealing with PRASA. We are dealing with a serious credibility issue, and therefore it's important that we do not move on the very important service delivery issues, but that we clear what we are busy with here today. I would submit then your reconsideration, for your reconsideration, so that we continue exactly where we stop now, and that we do not go over to new matters, but that we finish this and make sure that we get to the bottom of this. In the response now, very important contradictory issues have been shared with the committee, which we need to engage with. So please, Chair, I ask you to reconsider your position and allow us tomorrow to continue where we end off now. Seconded, Chair.
Hands up. I surrender. I surrender. I think we will continue where we're stopping here today. Okay.
Chairperson, I understand about the apology of the chairperson of the board. Is it possible to get him tomorrow here?
I don't think so. I don't think them.